And we're live. Welcome everybody here to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined as I always am for these Friday episodes by Pete Zayas of Laker Film Room. Today on the show, we have kind of a loaded show. We have, according to one very well plugged in reporter, reports that Austin Reeves really wants his max. And there's some fallout to that potential situation there. I do think that it's a little less stark than that. So we'll kind of discuss the gray areas there. We also got a bit of a look at the Lakers' approach to handling LeBron's contract situation this week as well from Eric Pincus, who is also very well plugged in. So Pete and I, we've gone back and forth on that one a few times, but given some newish information or at least a different approach to the information, we'll discuss that situation. I talked yesterday on the show about the Lakers' need for a stretch five and why I am intrigued by Miles Turner as a result of that. So I'm going to pick your brain about that a little bit too, Pete. And then in terms of the actual basketball that's being played, the Knicks lead the Spurs 1-0 in that series. They play tonight. So Pete and I will touch on how that series has gone and that matchup and some of the lessons that we've taken from that. So really fun show lined up for you guys. As always, please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. Please hit that subscribe button. Today's show is brought to you in a video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and make a $5 lineup of your own and get $50 worth of free lineups. And if you guys are listening to the show a little bit later via podcast, please subscribe wherever you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere is perfectly fine with me. Pete, how you been?
I'm good, man. I got to scratch a rare itch this morning. I rarely ever play video games. And when I do, one of the only ones I ever play are the Sid Meier's Civilization games. I don't know if you've ever seen or played those. Yeah. But basically, you rule over a civilization for like several thousand years. It's super fun, but it takes like really a couple of days to get through a whole game. And so it's one of those things like, as a grown man, I have no business playing this game on a regular basis. But I had a morning, and so I conquered the Hawaiians. I apologize.
Wow.
Yeah, we're in like
after Ricky Martin sang to us at the Super Bowl about what happened to Hawaii.
I know. Yeah, I'm not proud of myself, but they were sitting on some really prime territory with some great resources. So sorry.
I actually scratched a bit of an itch myself yesterday. I went out and watched the He-Man movie.
I loved He-Man when I was like 5 years old. I'll probably watch on video. Yeah.
It was exactly what I wanted it to be. It like mocked us for liking it back in the day, you know,
and just
like,
enough.
Like the story was, you know, but like those stories, they literally retrofit the stories to the toys. So it wasn't like it was ever known for incredible plots. Mm-hmm. And it was just fun to like go and I went solo to the movie last night, so I didn't have to like sit there and wrangle kids during it too. So it was just they serve wine at the theater now. So I had a couple glasses of wine, sat back, watched this movie, and felt like a kid again. It was awesome. It was so fun. I ate too much popcorn, way too many Reese's Pieces. It was great. So it's a good week. It's a positive week here for us. There goes all the light feelings. Let's talk about Austin's max contract. According to Brad Turner, he made an appearance on Spectrum Sportsnet and went through some of the scenarios, the numbers that Austin is potentially due, some of the teams that also might be interested. I can also echo Atlanta's interest is been the loudest, I would say. So far this offseason. And Turner went on to say that Austin is expecting his max contract, wants his max contract. I just for full context here, I don't do this for all reporters. Turner is among the most plugged in reporters out there. He has been on the Lakers beat for a really, really long time. Super well plugged in with Magic Johnson specifically, and Magic is back in the fold here too. And my response to it when I saw it was, this is early stages public negotiation, not giving an inch so that Rob Pelinka doesn't take a mile. I don't expect Austin to be on his max, even though I've heard it. And I've heard that expectation, and I just don't expect the number to creep that high. As that information reaches your table, Pete, where do you stand on it?
I think it's important to define what his max is. To start out, it'd be like 5 years, $241 million, I believe,
yeah,
which puts it at approximately, what's that, $48 million a year? And mm-hmm. so that is, you know, would start out at like a $41 or $42 million deal. Again, Austin only is only on a cap hold right now from a cap machination standpoint. He's only going to count as $20.9 million against the cap for team building purposes this year. But then going forward, that will be a very real number the Lakers need to work around. And so, I mean, when that information hits my table, it's like, I want a max contract too. Don't you? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's totally reasonable for Austin to ask for and want to get in the very first free agency that he has that isn't sort of like what he will make would be dictated, right? Because the last time when he signed the deal that's currently expiring is like, this is the most we can offer you. You know, it was, and it was still undervalued and he was still underpaid. So there was no real negotiation there, right? He got a player option. He got whatever they could offer. But I think that that's just part of negotiation. I think it's important to point out too, though, Anthony, that he can't get that in those kind of numbers anywhere else. He can get a 4 year, I want to say 178 is the number, something like that. And so that's part of the mechanisms in place around the league to keep players where they are. You know, I have skepticism
and
about
also the Luka, like also on that note, as far as like what he can get elsewhere, there just is not a ton of money out there.
Right. You know, there's not a ton of money
that would be in a position he wants to win, you know, and so like it should also be noted that, like, you know, even though he can technically get that kind of a number, there would like Atlanta would need to do some work to be able to open that much space up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. For a halfway competitive team like Brooklyn could offer him that, or Chicago, I think, could probably get there decently easily.
Right.
But does Austin want to go play for some bad teams and be the man on that team?
Does he want to be in Milwaukee on a post Giannis team?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but it would fly in the face of kind of everything he's ever said on the topic. And so that doesn't mean the Lakers can just, you know, take that mile that you were talking about earlier. But I do think that it's going to be a negotiation. I think that was always going to be the case.
That, I think, is the important takeaway here. And the reason that I say that's an important takeaway here is because the Lakers need Austin to kind of work with them a little bit in order for their offseason to go the best way that it possibly can, right? They need to be able to, like, they need to land on a number relatively quickly with Austin and then say, hey, we have you on this cap hold. Eventually, we're going to sign you to this contract, but we need you to agree to this number. We need to get this number out of the way, and then we'll come back to you and we'll sign you to whatever number that we need to sign you to. And if Austin, who is an unrestricted free agent, right, gets, you know, word from Atlanta, hey, we're willing to do this much to open up this much space to be able to give you whatever number that, you know, that would, you know, woo you away from the Lakers, that makes the offseason really tricky. And even while I'm not one of the people who was just like, give Austin the max, let's just move on out of here, like, let's get this done with, I also am of the opinion very strongly that, like, losing him for nothing would suck. You know, losing him for nothing would be absolutely brutal. And so, like, that negotiation, the Lakers are going to be, you know, they're going to have other things going on. Now, the nice thing is they can technically do that negotiation now, right? Like,
they could have been having this conversation all year, right?
Over the course of the season, this could be done already for all we know. And I would even say that like, because of the standing that I know, Aaron Riley and Austin's camp have with the Lakers organization, And given that Luka Doncic really wants Austin there, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of the lifting wasn't already taken care of, and that they've arrived at a number. This specific type of noise, right? That like Austin wants his max, and I saw actually earlier Eric Pincus also kind of alluded to Austin's number being around like $35 million a year. Mm-hmm. That kind of tells me where those two sides are doing a little bit of talking, you know, because Eric is very well plugged in with the Laker side of things. And so, yeah, like the way that this all kind of plays out is playing out, I think is somewhat noteworthy given the amount of machinations that need to line up for this offseason to go the way that it can. What do you think about those potential wrinkles?
Yeah, in terms of needing Austin to sort of play ball, that's an important part of things. Luka allegedly speaking up and saying, hey, it's important to me that he comes back, I think is a very important factor. I do think that like having a walkaway point for the Lakers is important, really, in any negotiation. Yeah. This is a summer where they have so many options that they shouldn't be leveraged really by anybody. They should have a multitude of plan Bs and plan Cs. And so, like, it's important to be able to, again, have that type of walk away number. I agree with you though, that losing him for nothing would suck. But one of the only things that sucks more than that is having a dude on an overpaid contract that you can't move and you can't build a team around. And this is something that the Lakers have really worked toward. Now, Austin has earned a certain degree of like, no, we know Austin's a good player, but these are not good player monies. This is not good player money. This is like, you're one of the best dudes in the league type of money. And on a team that's trying to win a championship, can Austin be that? I don't believe that. I don't believe Austin can be one of the two best players on a championship team. And so, like, frankly, this whole thing I'm very uncomfortable with overall. And those type of numbers to me are astronomically out of whack, the full Laker max type of thing. But even Austin at 40 a year, like, we have the team building tool for the 20.9 cap hold to really come into play this year. But so long as you can move him to another team that goes, yeah, I'm happy to pay Austin whatever the number is, that's the number that I'm happy with. But I'm very nervous about this negotiation in particular, just because I don't fundamentally really believe in the Luka Austin combo to be able to win a title.
Can we talk about, because you kind of briefly alluded to like how uncomfortable you are talking about this. This is my least favorite aspect of this job, where because of the CBA, like somebody in the comment section the other day was like, well, this has nothing to do with the CBA. Like these negotiations and the way they play out, they have nothing to do with this current CBA. And it's like, no, they absolutely do, because in prior CBAs, a second best player would just get his max and you'd be able to work around it. There weren't these aprons that would literally limit the number of things that you can do as a team to build out your roster. Now, teams, if they, you know, signed one too many of those contracts and the luxury tax bill came due, like that would place some limitations on what teams would be able to do there. But for the most part, with the soft cap, and if you're the Lakers, it didn't matter how far above the cap that you went. If the Buss family thought that the Lakers were a championship caliber team and that player was a championship caliber player, then you just kind of worked out the number. And you and I didn't really have to sit here and count other people's pennies. And this is like,
part. Yeah,
that's the part of this that I just cannot stand, is that like I'm sitting here and somewhat inherently, fans have to root that these guys get paid below market value, right? Like OKC is thrilled that they have AJ Mitchell in the $9 million contract. The San Antonio Spurs fans are thrilled that they have Champagne at a 4-year $12 million contract. Like, I hate that that the players union have the owners have basically negotiated to a place where like we have to sit here and operate as accountants. And like, I like Austin. I want him to get paid. I like Aaron. I want that entire camp to get paid. And yet I am a Laker fan and I run a Lakers show whose ratings get better when the Lakers win stuff. And I also want and in order for the Lakers to win stuff, you need guys at as reasonable contracts as possible. How do you navigate these waters? Because I really struggle with it.
I mean, I struggle with it on one hand. I'm also old enough to have seen enough players that I really love come and go. That I like, there are only a small handful of like that really breaks my heart when they leave players. Again, I would love for Austin to
be
able to stick around. But
is it Caruso? Caruso's one.
Yeah, well, Caruso was heartbreaking because it was like, this dude's still good and wanted to come back at $6 million a year. It's like, it pisses me off on like four different levels. You know what I mean? So I think Caruso pisses me off. Like, it's heartbreak, but it is, he's one of them. But I mean, it's the legends. It's, you know, Kobe and guys like, you know, Powell, guys that have been, you know, really long term.
Yeah.
And so. Yeah, I don't love this part of it, but it's part of being able to build a championship team. If you look at every top team, they have some way of being efficient with the salary cap, whether it's rookie contracts and Wemby's making what, like $13 million this year, which is insane.
Yeah.
Like, think of how good of a team you could build if you started with just Wemby at $13 million, right? And then you stack Castle and Harper on top of that. And you know, the Knicks, I think, are the closest example to the Lakers because they didn't tank. They don't have all of these rookie contracts. They don't have any, but they're super efficient with their roster. They don't have any bad money on their roster the way that the Lakers do. And so I understood why Kleba was on the roster. He was part of the Luka trade. But like the Vando deal is harmful. A couple million for Dalton. You know, Lakers, I think, have to pare that out, you know, going that way. And so in terms of like the fandom and the, like, I hate counting other people's money. I very much feel that way. It's also like, we're doing it from the perspective of trying to build a title team for the Lakers, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, I think it would be easier if I didn't know these people at all. It would be a lot easier if I didn't say a certain thing and I didn't get a text from people saying like, hey, what the fuck?
Sure. You know, well, that's why I try to keep a distance on some, even with people that I do talk to. I'm like, look, I'm not your friend. Like, I'm your friend, but I'm not your friend in this position. You know what I mean? Like, you are in this position that impacts this thing for the Lakers. And it's like, that's part of our job as media. Like, we are a part of the media now, people like us. And that's part of the reason that you don't become friends with the people that you cover is that you got to be able to talk about them honestly.
Yeah. And that's always what I try to say, you know, and I'll come back and I'll say like, yeah, I said this certain thing, but I have to keep it a buck, you know, like if my audience gets the sense that I'm playing favorites with, you know, players or people who I happen to be closer with, then like that, they're going to turn the show off.
And if they text you back and explain to you why you're full of shit, that's actually helpful. Like, I'm here to listen to whatever your case is
for
why you disagree with what I said. But it's like, yeah, I'm not here to just cape for you.
Let's say the Lakers do have a walkaway number and Austin does go. What pathways do you see to keeping the team at the same level, even let alone improving the team? Would you want to go, like, would you immediately start seeing what the situation is with like Ayu Dosunmu? Like, would you like, what would you do here? Would the Lakers be better off potentially and like, you know, kicking the tires on Dosunmu and seeing it, you know, hey, that guy's a little bit better defender, you know, does that guy make a little bit more sense? I think the number that I've seen most recently on him is around 20 or so million bucks a year. Is that something that the Lakers would be smart to check in on before they arrive at a number here with Austin? What path would you take here?
No, I think that that's probably the best player that you would look toward. And again, a lot of these evaluations are not like, is Io a better player overall than Austin? I don't think he is.
Right.
But is Io at 20 a better value, a better player than Austin at 40 something? And I would say yes. But I do think that the walkaway number for Austin, like that disparity between what another team can offer him and what the Lakers can offer him, I do think the other teams max, when you average it out over the course of 4 or 5 years, and there are player options, team options, things like that. But if you start with the number, you know, at what did Eric say, like 35, something like that?
Yeah.
And then that escalates over the course of 5 years. Over the course of the contract, that's like $39 million a year, something like that, $40 million a year. So I could see them coming to terms around sort of like what another team could offer. But the Lakers are also going to be like, they're going to be doing their intel and research on like you're talking about Atlanta. I guarantee you they've looked into like, well, what's Atlanta up to? Because Austin isn't the right. only thing that Atlanta had. Like, yes, they theoretically could clear some books, but they could also theoretically go after Jaylen Brown or one of the other trades that are on the market right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he won't be. Mm-hmm. And their evaluation of how likely it is that they could get him is, and the same thing would be true of Brooklyn or Chicago or anybody else that could offer him money. So the degree to which the Lakers are like, prove it, you can get that deal that you're talking about somewhere else. That's something I'm keeping an eye on.